welcome to Sio Community Church, but in the olden days, people often would say, welcome to the house of the Lord. How many of you ever heard someone say that? Welcome to the house of the Lord. Well, this isn't God's house. This is God's house. This is the place where God dwells now. There was a day and a time in place many years ago where God told Solomon to build a temple, a great and mighty temple. Actually, David wanted to do it, and God said, too much blood in your hands, let your son do it. And so Solomon built this magnificent temple, and the presence of God dwelled in the presence of that temple, and especially in one particular part of that temple. Anyone know what part of that temple that was? The Holy of Holies. There was a special place where God's presence dwelled. And in that particular spot, the presence of God was so powerful that people couldn't even handle it. In fact, the presence of God was enough that they would be utterly destroyed if God was unhappy with the status of the people. Because only one person, the high priest, could enter the presence of God, and he could only do that once a year. And some of the guys returned and some never came out. And so after a while, they got this idea of putting a chain around the leg of the high priest so that as he went in case he didn't make it, they could pull him out. The presence of God, the power of God, is something so powerful, so incredibly mighty that none of us really have a clue. One of the things that we do when we gather together is we remember God and we remember what He's done for us and we remember what a great and mighty and awesome God we serve. Amen? We sing songs. And sometimes the songs tell us about God. And sometimes the songs that we sing are sung to God as prayers. And a few moments ago, we sang a song, a simple song that says that God, we are here for you. We are here for you. I don't know if that was true. I hope it was. But that's what we sang. An interesting thing about songs, when we sing songs together, is sometimes songs reflect our heart. They're like a Hallmark card. Most of you probably have never actually written a Hallmark card. I'm guessing none of you. But what do? We find a Hallmark card that we find just the right card and we say, this expresses my heart. It might say, I love you. It might say, I miss you. It might say, happy birthday. But we say, this card, the words of this card, I'm going to adopt these words and I'm going to express them to someone else. And that's what we do when we sing songs. And sometimes the songs maybe express your heart. Maybe they don't. If they don't sing them. Well, you can sing them. But this morning we sang, we are here for you. This morning as we continue our series on worship, we come to one of the most controversial subjects, actually, in all of the modern church. This subject has divided congregations, it's split churches, it's generated heated conversations and deep emotions and tremendous division. And for that reason alone, I think before we dive in, we need to just spend a moment in prayer together. So would you join me in prayer? Awesome God, I thank you for the power of your presence. I thank you for the gift of music. I thank you for this day, Sunday, this day that you have made. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. For it is a day that you've created, and everything that we see and everything around us you have created. We marvel at your beauty and your creativity, your plans and your purposes. We marvel at life. And we give you thanks even for the breath that we just now breathe. May it be true of each of us, God, that we are here for you. And I pray that you would lead and guide us together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, my God, my King. Open our hearts, our ears, that we may be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In Christ's name. Well, tragically, today's subject is how we worship when we gather together on Sundays. I say it's tragic because it is this thing that has created so much division, so much controversy, this idea of Sunday morning, Next week we're going to talk about what does worship mean? What does it mean to glorify God Monday through Saturday? But for the next few moments, what I want to talk about is what do we do when we gather here? When you sit here, when you stand here, the whole idea of our gatherings together, what's the point? What's the purpose? I want to begin by stating the obvious of it's not about you. I hope none of you sang this morning, "We are here for me." I didn't hear anyone say that, I'm glad. But sometimes if we're really honest, that's what it's about. We gather together for us, for what we can get out of the experience. Because I want to be entertained. Because I want the preacher to make me happy and feel good. Because I want a joke that I can tell my friends later. Because I want to sing my favorite song if it's a really old song. It's an old classic song. Or I hope we sing that really new song that I heard on the radio that's so cool. I hope the temperature in the building is just right. Because if I get really hot, I'm going to be uncomfortable. And it's all about my comfort. And if I'm really cold, I might not have enough clothing to keep me warm. I hope my friends are there. Those people that I really like that make me feel good. I hope they're there. Because then I will have a good experience. I get this all the time. People say, "Oh, that was great worship this morning." What does that really mean? Great worship. Does that mean that your heart was ripped open and you connected with your Creator in a way that drew you to your knees in awe and wonder? Or does it just mean that you really felt good? Great sermon, Pastor! Great because it was short? Or great because you have a deeper understanding of the majestic power of God and that you long to be in deeper relationship with the One who spoke this whole world into existence? Our mission as a church, we exist to fulfill the Great Commission and follow the Great Commandment by serving our community, sharing our story, and sending disciples to bless the nations so that God is glorified. And that's why we're here. Ultimately, we're here for the glory of God. It's for Him. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. And this is a really, really difficult thing for us to grasp in our culture, because everything in our culture says it's all about you. It's all about you. Our primary purpose does not involve meeting your needs, taking care of your kids, making you feel good. And that may happen, and I kind of hope it does. But that's not why we're here. We're not here for you. We're here for Him. And everything that SIO Community Church is about, whether it's this gathering, whether it's our 9 a.m. practice, Sunday school experience, whether it's special events that we do throughout the year and service projects and whatever, everything that we do needs to be about bringing honor and glory to God. David Platt, in his book Radical, which has been our theme for this year, 2012, says that when we gather in our church buildings to sing and lift up our hands in worship, we may not actually be worshiping the Jesus of the Bible. Instead, we may be worshiping ourselves. Ouch. And I don't know your heart this morning. Only God does. But I can just be honest and say, sometimes when I come here, it's about me. I don't mean me because I'm putting together a sermon and speaking and playing music. I mean, it's about me. Do I like the experience? Am I comfortable? Am I fed? I love that one. Am I fed? Most of you have a spoon. You can feed yourself. You have a Bible, right? But when we gather, is it about Jesus? It's hard to check our consumeristic impulses at the door on Sunday mornings because we spend 6 days a week just listening to all these things about you deserve, you need, you should have this. And as we noted 3 weeks ago, the first of the Ten Commandments tells us to have no other gods, no other idols. It's natural for us to do those things that make us safe and comfortable, but it's very dangerous, friends. It's very, very dangerous. Consumerism, it tells us to worship ourselves. And I don't know if any of you have ever read the Satanic Bible, but the essence of Satanism and Satan, the religion of Satanism, it's not about worshiping Satan. Anyone know what the essence of Satanism is about? It's worshiping self. Try this week. Count how many times you hear a message that encourages you to worship yourself. See, we all everybody worships. Everybody worships. The question is, who do you worship? What do you worship? We all have people or things or objects that we process our time and our talent and our money through. And we think, this is deserving of my time. This is deserving of my money. I applaud all of you for taking an hour on your Sunday when you could be doing other things and saying, I want to devote this hour to God. I want to spend time with my Creator. I want to spend time in worship. There's an awful lot of people around us that are not doing that. In fact, the vast majority of people in Washtenaw County worship things other than God. And they're doing that at this very moment. When you worship, are you a consumer? Or are you being consumed by Jesus? That's a great question for this lady. Check it out.
Has your worship become boring and uninspired? Doesn't feel as fresh and exciting as it used to, does it? And you know it's good for you, but you wish it weren't so bland, right? Well, cheer up, kiddo. I've got great news. Holy Bunches of Worship cereal is the answer to all your worship woes. Holy Bunches of Worship is quick, guaranteed to make you feel warm and tingly, and there's no strings attached. You worship when you want, at your convenience. It's worship made easy. Finally, a way to worship that fills you up, but lets you get on with your day. One serving of Holy Bunches of Worship cereal has been scientifically proven to fill your worship quota for the entire day, and in some cases, an entire week. Non-stop worship might have been okay back in biblical days, but that's because they didn't have real jobs. The 21st century woman has a lot on her plate, and she needs to be able to squeeze worship in when and where she can. Everyone loves the deliciously divine taste of Holy Bunches of Worship cereal. Even cranky old Moses couldn't resist these bunches. Just battle off and start your day in a warm and tingling way. Holy Bunches of Worship cereal. Because it is all about you.
Okay, so maybe that's pushing the point a little too far. And it's fun to kind of laugh at these outrageous videos, but without realizing it, we're all tempted to worship ourselves. We're all tempted to do things that make us feel good. And if you get one thing out of this morning, it's just that it's not about you, friends. And when we gather together for worship, it's about God. It needs to be about God. If we sing, hopefully we're serious when we say we are here for you. Contemporary or traditional, hymns or praise songs, loud or soft, formal or casual, long or short gatherings, King James or NIV, organs or guitars, good music or country. Just seeing if you're awake. Brothers and sisters, does it really matter? I mean, should it really matter if it's about Him? We should be able to worship in any way, any style, any language. I spent some time, on several occasions, I've spent time overseas worshiping God in languages, some I understood and some, honestly, I really didn't understand. But the point was there, and there was a sense that people were worshiping the same God that I was worshiping, and I was able to engage. I remember spending time at a conference several years ago, and they set it up so that each session had a completely different style of worship. The first style was Celtic, acoustic worship, kind of folky. That was kind of interesting. Not the way, the style that I necessarily listen to all the time in my car, but there was an intent to sing songs that bring honor and glory to God. And so I engaged in that style, despite its uniqueness. And then there was a rock band, and they kind of rocked the house, and that was, you know, people were clapping and cheering, and that was kind of fun. Then there was a real traditional, like very quiet, mellow, contemplative kind of time. And then the one that was most interesting to me was when Andy Hunter, a very well-known DJ from the UK, came and led us into techno house worship. And I have to be honest that I had never really experienced worship that sounded like And I thought, what is this? Is this some like goofy thing? For like 30 minutes, I mean, the place was pumping. There were no disco lights, but there very well could have been. But what Andy Hunter did is he guided everyone in the room to think about different music and beat and style. And there was scripture and prayers. And it was all designed to go vertically up to God. And at the end of that 30-minute experience, I thought, you know what? I really connected with God. I was able to pour out my heart to God and worship Him in a way I never had previously. We've done special gatherings in here where we're all in a circle and we look at each other. We've done stuff with no musical instruments. We've done with lots of musical instruments. We've done all sorts of variety and we've used different manners and tools to worship God. And friends, all I want to say is it really shouldn't matter if it's about worshiping God. If it's about bringing honor and glory to God. There's going to be some weeks you come and you really love it. Some weeks maybe it's not going to be the style or the songs or the speaker you wanted to hear. But when we gather together, it should always be about Jesus and bringing honor and glory to Jesus. Now, worship, of course, is more than music, but music is a really, really important part of our culture. It's an important part of God's creation. Today we're talking about how we worship on Sunday. Like I said, next week we're going to talk about the rest of the week. But music is a powerful force. If you've ever been to a rock concert, you know that it can bring thousands and thousands of people together like nothing else. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've been to that to a rock concert? I mean, I've been to rock concerts that feel like church or they feel like worship. I've been to rock concerts that were worship for God, and then I've been at rock concerts that were worship for the people on stage. But regardless, there's something powerful about music, the way that it changes and enhances our mood, the way that it can energize us, it can bring us peace and calmness. Worship is more than just singing songs, but singing is a big part of it. A lullaby can calm a restless child. A dissonant song in the middle of a movie can scare an audience. A rousing theme can fire up an athlete and a thumping dance beat can energize a crowd of dancers. God created music. Contrary to what some people said in the 1980s, there's no such thing as music of the devil because the devil doesn't know how to create anything. All he can do is steal, kill, and destroy. He can take what God has made and mess it up, which he loves to do with everything in society. But God creates beautiful things. He created music and the Bible is full of it. I found this week over 100 verses that mention specifically singing in the Bible. David would play the harp for King Saul and it would soothe his soul. Some of you are aware of this scripture, 1 Samuel 16:23. Whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. And then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. That's music. That's the power of music that evil spirits would flee. Music has a spiritual power. There are numerous accounts of people singing in the scriptures. Maybe you've heard some of these. Exodus 15, Moses and the Israelites sang this song. It's like, we're not sure how many Israelites, but potentially like a million people singing. I will sing the Lord for he is highly exalted. The horse and rider he's hurled into the sea. Maybe you know that's after the parting of the Red Sea and all those horses and chariots and people were destroyed in the wake of the people crossing over on dry land. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God and the other prisoners were listening to them. Quite a duet, I'm sure the two of them were. Music's often prayer. Look at this fascinating verse. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind." I know some of you prefer to sing with your mind than with your voices. But the main thing is that you sing. The main thing is that you worship God and you express the glory and the worth that He possesses, which is the whole meaning behind the word worship, that He is worthy of our praise. We're also commanded to worship. We read earlier in Psalm 100, "Sing for joy to the Lord, all the earth." That includes you. That includes me. "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us. And we are His. We are His people." Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen? But singing is not just in the Psalms. Paul said in Ephesians, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I'm not even sure what that means, to tell you the truth. Hello, how are you? Nice to see you. How's it going? Probably not. But it says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. He didn't stop with the church at Ephesus. He went to the church at Colossae and he wrote them. And he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart. This is an interesting one. Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? James says in 5:13. Let him sing songs of praise. And Hebrews tells us to continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips. Sacrifice. Does worship and singing ever feel like a sacrifice to you? It does to me. In fact, some Sunday mornings when my alarm goes off earlier than I wish it did, I think, oh boy, it's a sacrifice. I got to get up early to sing those songs. None of you can relate to this? You're all morning people, huh? Sacrifice of praise. But there's something so powerful about music and about song. It changes our hearts. It changes who we are. But it really changes and blesses the heart of God as well. Did you know that God sings? We were created in the image of God, so it should be no surprise that He also sings. In fact, it says that He sings over us. Has anyone sung a song over you? Look at this verse, Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Friends, the Creator of the universe rejoices over you with song and with singing. And that verse alone should get us excited. It should make us want to respond in worship to God, to our Creator God, for all He is and for all that He has done, and for His great and awesome and amazing love for us. Well, it says in Revelation 14 that they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. You know, singing and music, it's not just something we do here. It's something we're going to do forever and ever and ever. So if you like to sing, if you like to worship God with your voice, get ready. We're going to do it for a long, long, long time. Because that's what we were created to do. We were created to worship. We were created to know God and to worship Him. To worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. R.C. Sproul says, the giving of adoration and praise to God, the honoring and blessing and esteeming and reverence of God, an outward expression of an inward awe and reverence to God, is worship. True faith that holds God in the highest possible esteem, the fear of the Lord is required. Our most foundation of obligation as creatures is giving honor and glory to God. Let me say that again. Our most foundation of obligation as creatures is giving honor and glory to God. I love that. God loves a sincere worship of His children. We don't have to worship, but that's what makes it so special to God. He could have created robots, but He gave us a free will. He created us and said, I'd love for you to know me. I'm going to pour out my love to you. And I'd love it if you respond. Have you ever given someone a gift and you got no response? You're like, I'm not going to do that again. And maybe someone else, you know, you did something like, they just lavish you with thanks, with praise. Doesn't that make you want to do something for them again? Right? It's like, wow, if they really appreciate it, maybe I'll do that again. It goes back and forth. And that's the amazing thing about music and song. As God sings over us, we can sing back to Him. As He loves us, we can return and love Him. And that's what relationships are about, isn't it? A love relationship with God, it goes both ways and it's continuous, it's fluid. It doesn't just happen and stop. and happen and stop like a text message. It's continuous and it's fluid. So in conclusion, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It only makes sense for us to take some time this morning in response and sing and to worship God. We're talking about singing. Some of you are probably like, wow, started early. Where's all the music? Well, I figured if we're going to talk about singing, it didn't make sense to end to talk about singing. I thought we'd talk about singing and then give you an opportunity to respond. And let me say this about as we sing. Some of you are very demonstrative, and we want to give you freedom to be demonstrative. Some of you love to dance. You love to raise your hands just in surrender to God, worship. The early church raised their hands out like this as a symbol of the cross when they would worship. Some of you love to sing loudly with your voice. Some of you make a joyful noise. Some of you make a beautiful melody. Some of you really, like, music's not your thing. And that's okay. Understand the heart. Maybe you want to sit and draw. Maybe you want to meditate. Write a love letter to God. It's not about the song. It's about the worship and the heart and giving back to God as He so blessed us. We worship God with our money. We worship God through loving others. We worship God in so many different ways when we gather. And I want you to always feel the freedom to clap, to stand, to kneel, to dance, so long as it doesn't like interfere with someone else. This is a safe place where you can pour out your heart to God. And so as the music team's actually going to come up in a moment, but we're going to sing a few songs and a few different types of songs. And so maybe we'll sing your favorite song. I hope so. Maybe not. But it doesn't really matter, because it's about Him. So would you please stand, and we're going to sing together about our awesome and mighty God.